It occurred to Cutangle that he ought to lead the way in his own premises, but Granny in a Hurry was no match for a near-terminal nicotine addict, and he kept up only by a sort of crab-wise leaping.
"It's this way," he said, splashing through the puddles.
"I know. The building told me."
"Yes, I was meaning to ask about that," said Cutangle, "because, you see, it's never said anything to me, and I've lived here for years."
"Have you ever listened to it?"
"Not exactly listened, no," Cutangle conceded. "Not as such."
"Well, then," said Granny, edging past a waterfall where the kitchen steps used to be. Mrs. Whitlow's washing would never be the same again. "I think it's up here and along the passage, isn't it?"
She swept past a trio of astonished wizards who were surprised by her and completely startled by her hat. Cutangle panted after her and caught her arm at the doors to the library.
"Look," he said desperately, "no offence, Mistress.
I think Esmeralda will suffice now, what with us having shared a broomstick and everything.
Can I go in front? It is my library," he begged.
Granny turned around, her face a mask of surprise. Then she smiled.
"Of course. I'm so sorry." "For the look of the thing, you see," said Cutangle apologetically.
He pushed the door open. The library was full of wizards, who care about their books in the same way that ants care about their eggs, and in time of difficulty carry them around in much the same way. The water was getting in even here, and turning up in rather odd places because of the library's strange gravitational effects. All the lower shelves had been cleared, and relays of wizards and students were piling the volumes on every available table and dry shelf. The air was full of the sound of angry, rustling pages, which almost drowned out the distant fury of the storm. This was obviously upsetting the librarian, who was scurrying from wizard to wizard, tugging ineffectually at their robes and shouting, "Ook!" He spotted Cutangle and knuckled rapidly towards him. Granny had never seen an orangutan before, but wasn't about to admit it, and remained quite calm in the face of a small, pot-bellied man with extremely long arms and a size 12 skin on a size 8 body.
"Ook," it explained. "Ook!"
"I expect so," said Cutangle shortly, and grabbed the nearest wizard, who was tottering under the weight of a dozen grimoires. The man stared at him as if he was a ghost, looked sideways at Granny, and dropped the books on the floor. The librarian winced.
"Arch-Chancellor," gasped the wizard. "You're alive! I mean, we heard you'd been spirited away by—"
He looked at Granny again.
"I mean, we thought. Treacle told us."
"Ook!"
said the librarian, shooing some pages back between their covers.
"Where are young Simon and the girl? What have you done with them?" Granny demanded.
We put them over here," said the wizard, backing away.
"Show us," said Cutangle, "and stop stuttering, man. You think you've never seen a woman before."
The wizard swallowed hard and nodded vigorously.
"Certainly, and, I mean, please follow me.
You weren't going to say anything about the law, were you?"
asked Cutangle.
No, Arch-Chancellor."
"Good."
They followed hard on his trodden-down heels as he scurried between the toiling wizards, most of whom stopped working to stare as Granny strode past.
"This is getting embarrassing," said Cutangle out of the corner of his mouth. "I shall have to declare you an honorary wizard."
Granny stared straight ahead, and her lips hardly moved.
"You do," she hissed, "and I will declare you an honorary witch."
Cutangle's mouth snapped shut. Esk and Simon were lying on a table in one of the side reading rooms with half a dozen wizards watching over them. They drew back nervously as the trio approached, with the librarian swinging along behind.
"I've been thinking," said Cutangle. "Surely it would be better to give the staff to Simon. He is a wizard and—"
"Over my dead body," said Granny. "Yours too. They're getting their power through him. Do you want to give them more?"
Cutangle sighed. He had been admiring the staff. It was one of the best he had seen.
"Very well. You're right, of course."
He leaned down and laid the staff on Esk's sleeping form, and then stood back dramatically. Nothing happened. One of the wizards coughed nervously. Nothing continued to happen. The carvings on the staff appeared to be grinning.
"It's not working," said Q-Tangle.
"Is it?"
"Look."
"Give it time," said Granny. They gave it time. Outside, the storm strode around the sky, trying to lift the lids off houses. Granny sat down on a pile of books and rubbed her eyes. Q-Tangle's hands strayed towards his tobacco pocket. The wizard with the nervous cough was helped out of the room by a colleague.
"Ook,"
said the librarian.
"I know," said Granny, so that Q-Tangle's half-rolled homemade shot out of his nerveless fingers in a shower of tobacco.
"What?"
"It's not finished."
"What?"
"She can't use the staff, of course," said Granny, standing up.
"But you said she swept the floors with it and it protects her and—"
Q-Tangle began.
"No, no, no," said Granny. "That means the staff uses itself, or it uses her, but she's never been able to use it, do you see?"
Q-Tangle stared at the two quiet bodies.
"She should be able to use it. It's a proper wizard staff."
"Oh," said Granny. "So she's a proper wizard, is she?"
Q-Tangle hesitated.
"Well, of course not. You can't ask us to declare her a wizard. Where's the precedent?"
"The what?"
asked Granny sharply.
"It's never happened before."
"Lots of things have never happened before. We're only born once."
Q-Tangle gave her a look of mute appeal.
"But it's against the—"
He began to say law, but the word mumbled into silence.
"Where does it say it?" said Granny triumphantly. "Where does it say women can't be wizards?"
The following thoughts sped through Q-Tangle's mind.
"It doesn't say it anywhere. It says it everywhere.
But young Simon seemed to say that everywhere is so much like nowhere that you can't really tell the difference. Do I want to be remembered as the first Arch-Chancellor to allow women into the university? Still, I'd be remembered, that's for sure. She really is a rather impressive woman when she stands in that sort of way. That staff has got ideas of its own. There's a sort of sense to it.
I would be laughed at. It might not work."
"It might work,"